You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking through the last principle with the limit setting pillar, which is when there are no limits, there is no security. And with this episode, that means that we are 3 of 4 done. So that means the next curriculum episode will be the principles for encouragement. And then we are ready to dive into themes in play therapy and stages of therapy and engaging parents and filial and, oh my gosh, all this other great stuff that I'm so excited about. So we are almost done with the foundational deep stuff. And I know this isn't always the most fun and exciting and flashy, but it's definitely important. So as of today, we are done with the limit setting principles and we only have encouragement left. So that's really exciting. Thanks for sticking with me this long and for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. That's a really huge blessing to me. So as we are looking at this last principle, when there are no limits, there is no security, it's really important to keep this in mind for the times when we're not really sure if we should set a limit, if we shouldn't, and how we're going to set the limit and what the child's reaction is going to be. And so we have all of these questions that swim around in our heads as clinicians and play therapists, right? So we're in the moment and we know that we're supposed to ask ourselves 3 questions. So let's go back to the limit setting pillar really quickly. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, if you're new to this, if you've jumped in later, I would really encourage you to go back and start at episode 1. This is chronological. It is designed as part of a curriculum that goes in order. So if you have no background and you're kind of just jumping in, first of all, we're so glad you're here. Welcome. This is a really amazing community of play therapists. So you're going to love being here, but please go back and get caught up from episode 1 all the way through numerically. However, for those of you that have been with me for a long time, let's circle back really quickly to the limit setting pillar. So we have to ask ourselves the 3 questions to determine if the limit is going to be set or not, right? So those 3 questions are, pop quiz, I have faith you all remembered. They are, is this limit necessary? Can I allow this behavior to continue and still accept the child? And can I consistently enforce this limit? All right, so if we filter every time we're going to set a limit or not through those 3 questions, is this limit necessary? Can I allow this behavior to continue and still accept the child? And can I consistently enforce this limit? If it brings us to this does in fact warrant a limit, then there's our litmus test, right? But if we ask those 3 questions and we say, actually, no, I probably shouldn't set this limit, then that is okay too. So I want to make it very clear, when we hear this principle, when there are no limits, there's no security, it does not mean that we should set more limits. We still filter through, how do I determine if this limit is going to be set or not? And no matter what you decide based on those 3 questions, move forward with that. However, kids need limits. So this is not, we need to add more. This is when they are necessary and needed. Kids benefit and thrive. So when we don't set limits, and again, like I mentioned in the last one, in the 10 words or less episode, parents need to know this stuff too. So yes, take this and file this away and use it in your sessions and become a better play therapist and hone your child-centered skills. However, parents need to know this because we have too many permissive parents. We have too many absent parents. We have too many indifferent parents. We have too many doormat parents. So we have to be aware of setting limits and helping parents know that they need to set limits as well, because security comes from those limits. And here's why. We have to be consistent, and setting limits is a way to do that, because it can't be okay in 1 minute and not okay the next. And it can't be something you get in trouble for 1 minute and then I ignore it the next. And then a child never knows what is going to happen, what to expect, what the rules are, where the boundaries lie. Consistency is what gives kids a groundedness. So limits are the way to do that, because when we set limits, it becomes an expectation. And that consistency is what kids need, because let's face it, we all need to know what is expected. And if the rules are always changing, it's exhausting. You can't keep up with it. You can't figure out what to do. So consistency is one piece of that. The second piece is that follow through is required. So when you set a limit, you have to follow through. And therefore, let's go back to the little girl with the marker example. When she chose to draw on her arm behind her back so that I couldn't see it, she chose to not have the markers the rest of the session. If I would have not followed through on that just because she cried, if I would have not followed through on that just because she got really upset that she lost the markers, if I would have not followed through on that because she was 2.5 and she was so cute and she had blonde pigtails and she had tears welling up in her eyes, and if I would have caved because she was so endearing, then there's no security in the relationship. Because follow through is the only way that a child knows that it is what it is. So when a limit is set, it is a limit. When a consequence is mentioned, it will be enforced. So the consistency has to be there, but the follow through also has to be there. Because I have a family right now, and dad doesn't really give in. Mom gives in a lot. They both do, but mom's definitely more of the culprit there. I think that's kind of universal mom and dad scenario, right? Moms are a little softer and gentler and can be more easily swayed usually. So mom gives in almost all the time. Dad gives in sometimes, and little boy knows it. So much so that last session I was with him, he was doing something that he knew was really a little bit pushing the boundaries. I didn't set a limit on it, but he was like right on the verge of pushing the boundaries. And he had been looking down and he looked up and saw that I was watching him. And he goes, "What?" And I said, "Oh, you were wondering what I thought when I was looking at you." And he goes, "I know, I'm cute." And I was like, dude, that is not at all what I was thinking in this moment. But I bring that up as an illustration because that's the message that he gets, because he's so cute that they don't follow through. And he's so cute that they're not consistent. And all he has to do is give that little charming smirk. And all he has to do is, you know, be that cute little endearing kid. And he gets his way. And he goes, "I know, I'm cute." And I was like, oh boy, okay. Not in this playroom, you're not. So it's really important to keep in mind that the messages that we send about consistency and follow through, it preserves the relationship. The security is determined by how well we adhere to the limits. And keep in mind, I think the deeper piece of this is our credibility. We lose credibility when we don't stick to what we say we're going to do. And you want to talk about undermining a relationship really quickly. If you don't have credibility in a relationship, there's a huge fracture. So we have to be really mindful of our consistency and our follow through, maintaining our credibility with our kids, because they need expectations, they need predictable boundaries, but they need to feel secure in the relationship. They need to trust what's going to happen. They need to be able to rest in their knowledge of what is coming. I know that when I do this, this is going to happen. I know that they're going to enforce the consequence if that's what I choose. I know that I'm not going to be able to do this if this happens. It is about security, and security provides the safety in which the relationship thrives. That's why we do the same thing every time in a child-centered play session. That's why our phrases are the same. That's why our intro is the same. That's why our exits are the same. That's why we sound like broken records, right? The process is the same. We go to the lobby. We pick the kid up. We wash hands. We go in. You can play with all the toys in most of the ways that you'd like. We play. We use the same exact phrases. We say, "We have 5 minutes left. We have 2 minutes left. It's time to go. Let's go wash our hands. Now let's get snack." Why? There's a lot of thought and intention in that. Because kids need predictability, Kids need to know what the boundaries are. Kids need to know what the expectations are. And in those things, the security is built. And there's safety in knowing what to expect. So there is our last principle of limit setting. When there are no limits, there is no security. I hope that is helpful. Please email me if you have thoughts, questions, comments. I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. You can also go to playtherapynow.com for some additional training opportunities. I'm very grateful for you. Thank you for spending time with me each week. Thank you for trusting me and wanting to become the best play therapist that you can be from a child-centered model. There's nothing greater in this world. I deeply believe that from my depths of my soul. So as always, I'm grateful for each of you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.